Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
People in different circumstances to try to get you to live in a place of defeat, to try to live you into in a place of lie and believing that God's not going to pull through for you. That's one of the biggest, slickest lies. Like, oh, you know, I saw this guy fall. I saw that gal fall. So, you know, probably God's not going to pull me through either. And so then we begin to regress and we begin to go farther and farther away from the love of Christ and our identity. And so one of the stories in the scripture talks about Hezekiah. And a well-known author, he titled this chapter, A Letter from the Devil. And he said, the Old Testament tells the story of how King Hezekiah of Judah received a letter from the devil. And this is the scripture, 2 Kings 19:14 through 16, and it will make sense as I move along. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up, after he read this letter, look at what he did. He went up into the house of the Lord, the house of prayer, and he said, O Lord, God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear, and hear, open, Lord, thine eyes, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib has sent to reproach the living God. At this point in Hezekiah's life, 10 of the tribes of Israel were in captivity. He was of the tribe of Judah, the Levites, the singers, the worshipers, the intercessors. He was over that in the house of the Lord. And so he goes to the Lord. He gets this letter. And the letter that Hezekiah, king of Judah, received was signed by this king of Assyria, and his name is Sennacherib. But it was sent directly from hell. Sennacherib's name means man of sin. Also, moon god who multiplies brothers. He represents Satan, the god of this world, who is determined to create for himself a vast brotherhood of God haters. And when we talk about Nehemiah, we knew that Nehemiah stood for truth even when it was very unpopular. And we know that we're living in an age right now that we need to stand for truth even when it's very unpopular. In our families, in our workplace, wherever it is. At that time, Hezekiah received this satanic letter. At that time, Jerusalem was under siege by the almighty Assyrian army. King Sennacherib and his hosts had already carried the 10 tribes of Israel into captivity. Israel had come under God's judgment for her immorality, idolatry, and apostasy. The people had sold themselves to the devil. And this had been the result. You see, you can't almost even say that sometimes today around people because they just think, man, what is this devil stuff? There's people that are Christians that don't believe in the devil. They say they're Christians, but they don't believe in the devil. They sold themselves to the devil, and this had been the result of it. 2 Kings 17:21 through 23. For he rent Israel from the house of David. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam. And the Lord removed Israel out of his sight. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria. And then I'm just going to read a couple paragraphs and then just make a couple comments. In this passage, Israel represents the backslidden, sin-saturated harlot churches of today. There are churches today that are embracing idolatry and all kinds of different lifestyles. Israel, now listen, God loves them and wants them to repent and wants them to come back to Him. And that's why the light is going to increase and the darkness is going to increase. And it's so important that we are a people of light in our families, in our private lives, in our communities, in our region, in our church, in our house of prayer, that we're a people of light and not darkness. Israel was full of compromise. They were full of compromise. Israel was full of lust, adultery, homosexuality, sheer pleasure madness. And just as true today, the Israelites possessed a form of godliness, but without power. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and placed them in the cities of Samaria. They feared not the Lord. A gospel of mixture was evident among their ranks, and it went with them into captivity. When you begin to mix the tree of the knowledge of good and evil with the tree of life, and you live more in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're mixing and mingling with knowledge of the world and not the life of Christ. The tree of life is being grafted into the life of Christ. You can say the tree of self or the tree of life, which is Christ. And I can't say it enough for my own self, in my own mirror, that I need to be looking, I need to be pursuing, I need to have the passion of Jesus arising within me each and every day and increasing to know Him in that place of intimacy. Not to make a name for myself, but just to know Christ for the sake of my family, for the sake of my loved ones. And the Lord today, even what we prayed, as Denny led us in prayer, God is calling us to really deal with those areas that are in our life that are keeping us from that being able to bind things in the name of Jesus. And I said it last week that if you are bound in an area, you can't bind things in the name of Christ. What's bound in you? And we have to be free and walk in the authority that God has called us to walk in. Because there is mixing and mingling taking place all around us. This doesn't mean that all of a sudden we're going to be these hardcore Christians that judge everybody. No. It means we're going to be hardcore Christians that love everybody. Because the love of Christ is what's going to cause us to be able to stand and speak truth. Many times we speak truth and we get offended with the opposition, and we blow our witness because we don't love in the speaking of truth. We have to love people. We don't begin to agree and walk in their lifestyle, but we love them and we speak the truth to them. The truth is weighty. It weighs a lot. And when you begin to speak it, even if a person rejects you, the weight of it will begin to have an effect in their life, especially if you're praying for those people. And you're real and you're genuine. Many of you know, and you've experienced, I can say I have, the fruit of sin. I've had the consequences of sin in my life, things that have taken place. And many of you have also, in your personal life, in your family life. And we see the result of it, or the fruit of it. And God is saying, repent, repent. Know who Jesus is. Know Him in such an intimate way that you can stand in the midst of any storm, any circumstance. That you can sing with anointing, that you can pray with anointing, you can pray in the love of God, that you truly are the same at home or at the workplace that you are in the church. That's what He wants out of us. He wants us to be lovers. And we can overcome because we know the Word of God. The Word of God and the truth of the Word of God says that love never fails. And this is what we're going to see manifested in God's warring, conquering bride. She's going to be so in love with Jesus. When you get around people that are in love with Jesus, it doesn't take long for Jesus to come up in the conversation, does it? They'll just start speaking about it, loving and talking about it, or their experience with Him. And that's what God wants for all of us. I believe that in this place today, there are reformers. I believe that there are reformers just like in the day of Martin Luther, in many other days. They're here right now in this church. And we're all to be a part of that. It's about moving in a whole different way in the ways of God and standing for truth. Not becoming legalistic. Not becoming a finger pointer, just becoming lovers of God that, boy, carry the weight of truth in their girth. And it just, boom, it comes out because they can't help but talk about the truth of Jesus. They stay away from all the denominational stuff that causes division. They don't get offended easy at all because they're so much in love with Christ that they flow in the love and they're not offended. We've said for years here at Voice Ministries that when somebody really stirs you and stirs you up, look at them as a gift from God so you can get the healing to walk in the love of God. I didn't want that big of a gift, you know. I got too many gifts, you know. Well, you know, God just, I think he gets a kick out of us and how we function sometimes, you know. You know, today when we were worshiping, I was just like, Lord, just take us. Just take us. Just stir. Just cause a whirlwind to happen in this place. Mess us all up. You know? Let us walk out of here. Oh, you know? I just felt like, Lord, attack anything in our mind. I said, Lord, attack anything in my mind that's going to hinder your movement in this place. You guys are wild people. You really are. I know most of you in here, and you're pretty wild. Wild in the greatest sense of the word. You don't give up. You keep saying yes. And from within, from around, the enemy tries to hold you down, to pressure you, to walk away, but you say, no, I'm going to stay with Jesus. The enemy sends you letters that will try to get you to compromise, and you, for a moment, maybe you take a hit and you're going, wow, that makes sense because I've lived a little bit in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil too much and I've mixed and mingled. That almost makes sense. And all of a sudden, boom, you realize it's not truth because you're a person that desires to walk in the spirit of truth. Someone asked me the other day about truth and about an individual that I said I really think a lot of this man and his book that he had written, and they had made, it was an old friend, unbelievable songwriter, musician, and was with him a long time, and just he made a comment on what I said, and you know, I could have responded in a wrong spirit, but I responded in the opposite spirit in a good way, and I encouraged him. And I talked about truth. And I said, I've come to this conclusion. His name's Eddie. I said, Eddie, I've come to this conclusion that Jesus Christ is the truth. And I can't accept really anything else. That's where I'm bound. That's where I have this, he's the truth. And there's nothing else. No matter how good it sounds, no matter how you try to get me to agree, Jesus is the truth. And the truth, you know, if you want to be really hungry for the ways of God, there's different things that you can begin to do in your life for that hunger to increase. But I would just say this. I'd say spend some time alone and read the Gospel of John, John 14, 15, and 16. Just stay in that, you know, that gospel and just listen to the words of Jesus. I would rather hear the words of Jesus than the words of any leader out there, even though there's good leaders out there that are standing and walking in there. I'd rather hear Jesus. What is Jesus saying? What is his heart for me? I don't want to get it secondhand. I want to get it firsthand. And now I can walk in something. A gospel of mixture was evident among their ranks, and it went with them into captivity. I don't want that to happen to us. So these nations fear the Lord and serve the graven images. Today the devil has no need to seduce. This guy gets a little tough here. If I told you who he was, you'd say, oh, okay. Yeah. He's good, though. He's good. The devil will continually write seducing letters and threatening letters to such people. And that is because he already controls a segment of the church. In fact, he's placed his very own angels of light in positions, the devil, in pulpits across the nations. He has entrusted to them a lukewarm religion of mixture. A lukewarm religion of mixture. I do not want to be found in that place. A lukewarm religion of mixture. Just enough tradition combined with a great deal of behind-the-scenes wickedness. when we started a long time ago in the counseling ministry and the healing ministry, and we were taking a lot of people through, and a lot of people were going to our seminars. Every 3 months, we were putting on a seminar to equip people in a certain area, a certain tool that would bring people in that place of freedom and renew their mind. When we got really heavy into it, we went to some of the advanced seminars that the gentleman who was running it, the doctor who was running it, great man of God, was facilitating. When we went there, we found out things that we couldn't even imagine. And then as one who would do this same type of healing, I found myself in situations and hearing the very things that this leader spoke about. And what he spoke about was that there are high-ranking evil people in the Church of Jesus Christ that have been placed there in position to deceive, to destroy. And some of their names, like good old, I don't want to use anybody's name in here, but good old Joe on the board, or you know, Jim on the board, or John on the board, you know, and this guy, he's parading around and acting like he's Mr. Spiritual, but behind the scenes he's assaulting and destroying people's lives. And he had such a good alibi, and he had made such contacts within the entire church that the pastor would never ever think that he was part of such an evil movement. This is what has come against the church. This is what has assaulted the church. Have you ever thought about this? That, you know, things get going really good and somebody's really growing in the Lord and they're doing real well. Then all of a sudden something is triggered and all of a sudden they're like day and night. And next thing, everything is stirred up. Well, part of that's healing, but part of that is even the plan of the enemy. Because he has lies in our life. And that's why the love of God wants to rid us of all those lies. And the truth of God wants to set us free of those things. So that we can be those people that reside in the presence of God, loving him and letting him heal us and speak truth to us. And now, when that happens, we can begin to function in a koinonia, a true fellowship that begins to happen. It's, koinonia is meant to be communion, that we commune with God and we commune with him and others. Yep. And it comes through love. Well, this is probably my message this morning. It's okay. Well, good. Thanks, Denny. I got one person converted here. Thanks, brother. The devil's onslaught today remains. And its focus. And listen to this. The reason I want to share this is because what was prayed today at the beginning. The devil's onslaught today remains focused on those precious ones, and I believe that to be you, precious ones whose hearts are set wholly on hungering after the Lord Jesus Christ. In the story of Hezekiah and Sennacherib, the nation of Judah represents the Lord's remnant church on the earth. Amen and amen. She is Satan's target, though, because she's under covenant. And covenant is a heavy word. She's under covenant with the Lord and said, therefore, possess a tremendous... This is what happens. They, you and I, we possess a tremendous threat to the kingdom of darkness. And Scripture says Judah's king Hezekiah was a godly man. 2 Kings 18:3 through 7 says this. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Do what is right in the sight of the Lord. If you know what to do, do what is right in the sight of the Lord. He removed the high places. And he broke the images and cut down the groves. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him, the Scripture says, among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clung to the Lord and departed not from following him ever, and obeyed his commandments. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered him with whatever he did and whatever he went for. If you do this, if you get rid of the things that are trying to direct you away from this love affair with Christ, and when I say that, I don't say that in any weird worldly way. If you begin to direct your heart toward him and you start dealing with the things you know that are in the closet or things that are coming against you, our God will prosper you, and your life will begin to be abundant in every area of your life. That's who Jesus is. That abundance is not some weird prosperity message. That abundance is the abundance of the love of God and knowing Christ. That's what it is. And other things begin to happen around you. And you're almost instantaneously, you begin to give glory to God and not yourself. Because self will always try to rise up in the midst of blessing. That's why God wants to hit this area. He wants to hit Michiana. And he's come a few times in powerful ways into this region. The book of Nehemiah, they held true to their covenants. When they did, they prospered. When they didn't prosper. God is saying to you and to me to be a people of light. A people of light. To live in worship. To live in prayer. To not live in religion. God's wanting you to break some old habits to give you some brand new habits in Him. And if you suffer from spiritual boredom, stir yourself up in Him. And He'll get you where you need to be. But we want to preach and teach about the knowledge of God and who He is. So the more that you know Him, the more you can walk with Him, the more you can understand the things that are happening around you today. And it prepares you. It prepares you. If Michiana chooses not to be a people of prayer, not to be a people of worship, not to be a people that love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their neighbor as thyself. If we choose not to do that, then darkness is going to overtake this region. I didn't say that. The Word of God says that. Because He's going to shake everything that can be shaken. And what remains is His Word and Him. And that's the time we're living in. This Reformation will move all the way into the Great Reformation of Jesus, leading all the government. The devil, Satan, will no longer be involved in any government of the earth. Jesus will be ruling the entire government of the earth in the Great Reformation when He comes back and takes everything over. That's what we have to look forward to. That's what we can look to. And this is the last thing I want to say to you. Knowing just the amount that you know about Him, especially young folks, I'm speaking to you to this. You've heard things over and over. I'm speaking to everybody. You've heard things over and over. Knowing what you know, and if Jesus is exactly who He said He is, and the Father said who He is, this makes absolutely complete ignorance and foolishness if we would not want to know the one who's coming back to rule and reign the entire earth, the King of glory, the one who stands for us, who dies for us, who lives for us, who can't wait to come back for His bride. Because the men and women are called His bride, it's talking about an intimate relationship, a partnership, a covenant that's going to go on for all eternity, and He's going to rule and reign. And the truth is, you've all heard it, some of you may not have, He's coming back to stay, not to leave. He's coming back to remain and to set His kingdom in motion. If we can't get stirred up about that, we need to look in the mirror and say, come on, Holy Ghost, do something to me. Stir me, strengthen me, change me. And I don't mean just that you got to get stirred up to dance around or whatever. You just get stirred up that you bubble out about Jesus. You just bubble over with Jesus. We've got a house of prayer going here that we know the Lord's going to establish. We got worship on Tuesday night and Sunday morning. God has blessed us in that area. I have the chance of being with Jason Dedemore's team on Wednesday night, and I just loved it. I love their hearts, who they are. And I thought, oh, how precious these people are. With Todd Weiss and his team on Monday night. Wow. This house of prayer, you're going to be handed when you go out the door. You're going to be handed a schedule. And it's the teams and people that are in here, the times that this place is open. Tomorrow we're going to fast for 7 hours and pray. It doesn't sound like a lot of fasting, but we're going to pray for 7 hours and fast for 7 hours and pray to the Lord and come in agreement with what's being prayed over the nation. That's what we're going to do. So today, I hope that my passion, a little bit released to you, stirs you. I want to be stirred. And I just ask you, can you say with me, I want to be stirred. I want to be stirred, Lord, by you, by your Holy Spirit, by your word, by your presence in my life. Experiencing him. That's what he wants. You guys, next Sunday, when you come in here, man, just get up in the morning, get yourself whatever you get yourself. And get yourself ready. And just come into worship. And receive a message. Receive the word. Come to the prayer room through the week if you can. No condemnation if you can't. But pray for us. That we set singers and musicians and gatekeepers in this house in the right way that God wants. For who? For him, for his glory. Secondly, for this region, that the light of God would inhabit this region, and praying for all the churches and all the ministries. Number three, for our own families, that we would have a place of light and worship for our own families. Your daughters and your sons, they matter so much. I don't care if they're in the house or they're out of the house. They matter so much to God. You be those torchbearers. You be those light carriers. You be that voice that speaks out and prophesies in the place of love. You be that one to forgive. You be that one to bring reconciliation in your family. You be that one to stand next to the wayward one and love them until they come back. And then you get the fatted calf and have a joyful time. You be that one. I need to be that. Whatever you have done, whatever you've gotten caught in or sin that you're committing, know that this, that God forgives you, he loves you, he will restore you, and when it says to repent, it means to change your thinking toward that sin and turn away from it and move toward God. That is what is necessary. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, go speak to that individual through the Spirit and through the love of God. So that we can become a healthy ministry, a region filled with light and the love of God. Easy to preach, hard to do. Especially if I'm mixing and mingling with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and I'm not grafted into the tree of life. Why don't you stand? Lord, I thank you for these precious ones in your sight. I thank you, Lord, for your word. We all need to be encouraged, Lord. And I just ask that you would just encourage every one of them in their day today, in their night. We open up this altar if anyone needs ministry or needs to be prayed for, needs to step into something new today. We open up this altar. So, Lord, help us as we grow and the wheat and the tares grow together, that we can grow in your word. We can remain in your love as you've promised. Heal us today, God. Restore us today. As we even pray for this nation and the balance of our nation and the nations lie in the area of prayer and worship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for a wonderful time in you. It's been a long weekend. Many are tired. Strengthen them. But Lord, don't let one person go out of this room without contemplating who you really are, Jesus. The lover of our soul, the King of glory. And let them experience your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.